Right wing three in the air. It's good.
Throws it down with two hands.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I cannot stand one shining.
Oh.
Lucas hit it from the right side.
This is so unlike you, Rich.
But you're so positive and sentimental and optimistic.
Best dad ever.
Call me sappy. You can do it. My school losing by one wasn't a shining moment for me. The moment stunk.
Today's guests, Baylor head coach Scott Drew, WWE champion Bobby Lashley, NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, plus 76ers president Daryl Morey. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here live from Los Angeles, California, live on NBC Sports on Peacock, this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate, terrestrial, or satellite as well. Sirius XM Channel 211. NBC Sports Audio is our home every single day for your ear gate on satellite. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, and buddy,
Mike
what's
Del
happening?
Good to see you, gents, over there. And TJ Jefferson's all excited, settling into his chair because it's WrestleMania weekend, and Bobby Lashley's right in the middle of this program.
Yeah. Also, Rich, I found the gray hair and an eyebrow, so I got to deal with that.
Okay.
All day.
But
wait,
you look.
This morning?
You look. I mean,
yeah.
I like all of what you're wearing today. It's very put together.
Well, I've got to play for it. Bobby Lashley in the Hurt Business later on.
I like it. Look at that very gold shirt. I mean, my gosh.
Shiny.
At any rate, good to see you over there,
always
sir.
A pleasure,
good to
Rich.
See you. We're literally all over the map with the national champion head coach of Baylor University, Scott Drew, joining us first up, and then Bobby Lashley, then Bubba Wallace from the world of NASCAR. He's now racing in the Hamlin Michael Jordan seat.
Wow.
And the NASCAR Cup Series driver will join us. And then at the very end of the program, from TJ Jefferson's Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations, will join us in advance. This is for two reasons. One, I always love Daryl Morey, and he's a newsmaker.
The best.
And number two is I'm interviewing J.J. Watt at his Sloan MIT conference via Zoom tomorrow. And I just figured I'd go straight up the flowchart and ask him, what do you want out of this thing? You know?
The interview?
Well, yeah, the interview.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
like me and J.J. for like 45, 50 minutes. I mean, after we hit mitochondria as the powerhouse of the cell, I mean, what are we going to talk about after all of that, right?
Well, it's an analytics conference, Rich, so, you know, get into the numbers.
I understand that, and they gave me some analytics to actually lace into this. Again, I just want to talk to Daryl about this. Like, what are you looking for?
Got it.
Because I don't want him to, like, you know, figure out, like, third question in, I get...
You're zapped?
Third question, I'm weaker after, you know, the three times through the question order, you know, and then suddenly I get pulled like Blake Snell because of the analytics, you know? Just want to make sure that he understands that I finish strong, okay? Just don't just pull it based on just the numbers. That's all I'm saying. So
pulled after three questions.
That's what I want to make sure.
You got a lot in the tank.
So there's lots to talk about.
Like
on
Mike
this.
Greenberg replaces you?
I don't know. I have no. I need to see. I need to have my head on a swivel when we're in that green room before it. Is there somebody coming in?
Sorry.
I don't know.
That's funny.
So at any rate, lots to discuss on this program, including first up, I'll be honest, we led our third hour yesterday with a press conference in the city of Houston of Deshaun Watson having one of his 22 accusers of inappropriate behavior on the light end of the spectrum, and then on the darker end of the spectrum, assault. And one of the people who accused him of assaulting her spoke out yesterday. And, you know, his lawyer, Rusty Hardin, said this was the individual who asked for a six-figure settlement before this whole thing started. There's a whole back and forth going on. But the back and forth that is going on has caught the attention of the NFL. The lawyer who's representing the large, I guess, what, coming up on two dozen women who have said Deshaun Watson needs to be held to account. Tony Busby, the lawyer who put everything on Instagram at first, which led me to believe that there was not much there because again, I don't want them to be false charges because I never want anybody to falsely accuse anybody because that actually creates a problem for women who actually have something of concrete, something concrete to put out there and seek justice for. And I'm not saying these women don't, But when a lawyer puts something on Instagram, it's something right off the bat you're wondering what's up with that. It's just one of the many weird and strange aspects about all this. I look at Deshaun Watson and I see who he is and who I believe him to be or believed him to be. And I just hope this is not true about him. If it is, then he needs to be held to account. That is a fact. And Nike came out today and suspended his contract with them. And this is the first huge moment in this case that has caused me to sit here and truly think Deshaun Watson's going to miss some time this fall. And that this needs to be proven incorrect. And you can't say, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. Well, that's in a court of law. This is a civil case. And players have lost game time over civil case issues before. I'm genuinely concerned for Deshaun Watson right now. And I'm genuinely concerned for these women about will they get justice if this is true? Because I don't know how if this case is being presented in a manner it finally is coagulating to the point where there is a member of the business community, a major partner of the NFL, saying we're sitting Deshaun down for the moment. And that I don't know what is fact, what is fiction. It's very confusing to a lot of people. The sheer numbers are just shocking. In terms of just the weirdness, again, from the fact that the lawyer representing the women puts everything on Instagram first and then doesn't bring in the Houston Police Department at first and then says he isn't going to bring in the Houston Police Department because the son of the lawyer who represents Deshaun Watson is a member of the police department that has had a problem with him personally. The lawyer represents the woman, Tony Busby. And then now apparently the accuser who spoke yesterday has put something in front of the Houston Police Department that an investigation by the investigative forces in Houston has begun. The NFL is looking into it, calls the allegations deeply disturbing. And they are. And bizarre from Deshaun Watson's point of view, too. I'll just say this as well, and this is something I'm wondering about. And again, I hold this man on the screen in such high regard, beyond high regard. And I don't understand. I've never heard of a professional athlete who has multiple people work on his body. It's weird. I know professional athletes like seek out the one person who knows his or her body, and that's the person who works on them, and they won't allow another soul to touch them except that person. That person travels around the country with them because they have the means to make that happen. You hear there's 22 people who accused Deshaun Watson of inappropriate behavior or assault, and then there's 18 people who say he's not that person. Have 40 people worked on Deshaun Watson's body since he's come to Houston? So I don't know what to say. I haven't spoken a lot about it here because again, I can't render a judgment. That's not my position, other than the fact that I hope Deshaun Watson is not guilty of any of this. And I'm fearful for him that he's going to miss time. And I hope the women that do rightfully accuse him of something get the justice they deserve. I'm wondering when we're going to see Deshaun Watson in a uniform next. We were sitting here talking from January all the way up to the beginning of last month about will we ever see him in a Houston Texans uniform again. Right. I'm just wondering what's the next time and he's at some point he's going to have to say something. At some point. And I'm sure his legal team is telling him to stay back. I remember Jim Trotter said exactly. The cameras were following
exactly.
him around.
He intimated
that, yeah. pardon
he
me.
He intimated that this is being documented
camera crew.
In some way.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
So, there's that conversation Oof. That's going on in Houston. I just wanted to address that off the top, since I'm sure everyone's talking about Nike is sitting down. And as we know, corporate America is taking the lead in so many different ways, or being asked to take the lead in so many different ways in this country on important issues.
Yeah, Rich, actually a few minutes ago, Beats by Dre announced their parting ways with Deshaun Watson.
This is the beginning. And I hope for Deshaun Watson that we hear from him soon, because I'd like to know what he has to say about a lot of this stuff. 844-204-RICH is a number to dial on this program. As we all know, my team that I was, I was hoping the Jets would go after Deshaun Watson at one point.
Yeah.
Significantly, because he's a face, a tremendous face of that city and the franchise, and he has been a model community member outwardly. And, of course, his play on the field has been unrivaled in many different ways. Jets are definitely not into running for Deshaun Watson now, even though they've already traded away Sam Darnold. They have made their maneuver. Dolphins have made their maneuver. So, I mean, any sort of leverage that Deshaun Watson could have had to get out of Houston is history. That is long gone. And the takers are moving on elsewhere. As Joe Douglas, the general manager of the New York Jets, met yesterday with the media writ large after trading away Sam Darnold for a 6 this year and a 2 and a 4 next year, and sitting there second overall, the first question asked of Joe Douglas was the obvious one, and the answer confirmed everybody's beliefs. Roll it.
Slim here and say that it sounds like you're pretty locked in on a quarterback at number 2. Is that fair? And to follow on that, would you consider moving down if someone came to you with an attractive trade offer?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment to say, Rich. I think based on the decision we made yesterday, you can kind of see the direction we're heading. When it comes to pick 2, obviously never say never. Like I've said to you guys in the past, I'll always answer the phone if it's ringing.
Yep, he will always answer the phone if it's ringing. I don't know who's calling him for Zach Wilson right now, because it's going to be Zach Wilson. I don't know who's calling for Zach. They're going to have to offer something. Well, you saw what the 49ers offered to the Miami Dolphins and then some. Certainly now the fact that Sam Darnold's gone. Nobody's calling the Jets. Even Ian Rappaport said that a few people were calling him. My colleague from the NFL Media Group, a few people were calling him. I even heard the Niners never called the Jets. I know Peter King reported earlier, on this show, he said a couple days ago that the Niners did. He heard they did. I heard they didn't. Be that as it may, Sam Darnold's a Carolina Panther, and it was the right move to do. Certainly with the Jets deciding second overall is going to be a quarterback. It had nothing to do with anything except for the fact that last year's disaster left them second overall. They have an opportunity to get somebody who they were definitely going to take, which made Sam Darnold expendable on the spot. Mike?
14. We wouldn't be having this conversation. I think the unique nature of where we are in the draft, picking number 2 overall, and ultimately we just decided that taking a quarterback at number 2 and keeping Sam would not be the best decision for the entire organization. The two quarterbacks, the coach and the coaching staff, and the locker room. So after a lot of discussion, that was the decision that was made.
Okay, so now we knew the number 1 overall pick wasn't going to be controversial. We knew it was going to be Trevor Lawrence. That's why I was wearing a Trevor Lawrence wig on NFL game day morning last December. That's why I was pounding the table all year long for the Jets to never win a game. The fact that they actually won a game, actually 2 games in a row, now leaves them in a position of being second overall, not first overall, and they love their guy Zach Wilson. That is a fact. That is who they're going to take. We all know it's 1 and 2. There's no more drama now atop the draft. Now that leaves the 49ers sitting there at 3 on the clock, and let that speculation begin. I have a feeling we will not know going into that draft week. There'll be a good sense draft week. It's going to be this. Right now, mark it down, Chris. Mark it down right here. Just let it be known. between on the week, the first week of April. Okay, as of tomorrow, as of tomorrow, we'll be 1 week into April. Just write it down. It's Mac Jones. Everybody says it's Mac Jones. Everyone believes it's Mac Jones. It's got to be Mac Jones because why? He's the most ready. He's a pro-ready guy. He's the guy that could actually fit in the Shanahan system. He could do X, Y, and Z as if Trey Lance and Justin Fields would crap out in that system. It makes no – I honestly, right now, it's Mac Jones. I would basically – just having seen everything, there will be a time between now and then where it's not going to be Mac Jones. It's going to be somebody else. And and maybe part of that will be speculation fueled as to who is trying to trade with the Atlanta Falcons right now.
So when is that going to come? Like
I don't know.
Like
I can't
Monday
tell.
Before the draft?
No, I think it's going to come in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
There's no pro days that are going to be leaping out. Everybody's had their pro days. Yep. Next week is when there's a medical check. Okay. We might find out that Mac Jones had some sort of a cracked toe when he was 7 years old. Like that's what we're gonna.
That stuff does come up, by the way. I don't know.
And then you hear like Chris Collinsworth, who is on his podcast with Richard Sherman of Pro Football Focus, say there's no way in God's name. He actually invoked the all. Knowing, I think the whole big one writ large, not the NFL gods. That there's no way the Niners traded up to three with all of those picks for Mac Jones. I think you're going to hear more about all of that. It really is now. What are the 49ers going to do? The Jets have removed themselves, and then like I said, I thought there would be something between then and now. Or now and then, between now and the draft, that'll make me, nervous about whether the Jets are really going to go through with all of this. I think this is part of Joe Douglas saying, I got it. This is our guy. Sam's out. This is our guy. We're in. We're focused. What do we got coming up in the second round? Who wants the, who wants what? You know what I mean? What are we going to take later in the first round with Seattle's pick?
Crazy.
Like, this is where we're focused. This is what we're going to do right now to help out Zach Wilson. This is how they're working. And there will be still that hitch in my giddy up and little pit in the stomach of all Jet fans as Roger Goodell reads out the card that it's going to be something other than Zach Wilson's name coming out, as if this kid from BYU is all that. We're already all Jet fans are bought in. So let's remove Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. What did the 49ers think? What were they thinking? What are they thinking? I don't believe we're going to have that answer. Draft day may be like, draft week, it's definitely Mac Jones. Between now and that week, there will be a spark for Trey Lance or Justin Fields.
Yeah, maybe Fields is the...
But all three of them have their issues, flags, whatever. So all three of them can have a case built in for it, like to the 49ers saying, you traded all... that for this guy? Oh my gosh. What is in the minds of the 49ers and their intelligentsia and their organization? That is now officially the number one question about the NFL draft. Because what are they going to Jets do with Darnold? What are they going to do with the second overall pick? That's off the board. Remove it. It's now about the 49ers. Let's take a break. When we come back, we talk to a national champion head coach who we talked to on March 1st at Scott Drew of Baylor University. And then it's Bobby Lashley, Bubba Wallace, and Daryl Morey right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Before we take a break, I do want to tell you about my friends at Callaway and the Chrome Soft Golf Ball. This is how good this ball is.
Oh, I love this ball.
I can tell the difference when I hit it.
That's how you know.
Yes.
That's how you know.
I can tell the difference between Chrome Soft and any other rock that's out there. Callaway doesn't just make a better ball for tour players. They make a better tour ball for everyone. If you're a pro, a low handicapper, or a weekend warrior, and I think I'm in between weekend warrior and low handicapper, okay? If you want the best performing tour ball, there's a new Chrome Soft for you. The original Chrome Soft is Callaway's number one selling tour ball because most golfers love the combo of incredible distance, soft feel, short game control. Then there's Callaway's number one ball on tour, the Chrome Soft X. The ball is designed to give elite players precise shot workability and amazing greenside action. When you want to hit bombs, this is what Phil Mickelson does. Callaway's longest tour ball, the new Chrome Soft XLS low spin profile, provides max distance off the tee with tour level short game spin. Chrome Soft isn't just better, it's better for everyone, people. Find your Chrome Soft today at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. We'll be back with Scott Drew right here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back here as a radio and TV simulcast right now, and I'm thrilled to have back on the show a man who I interviewed on March 1st, and here we are in the end of the first week of April in our calendar year 2021, and he is now a national champion head coach of Baylor basketball. He is Scott Drew. Coach Drew, thanks for calling into the show.
Well, thanks for having me back on. Thanks for your advice on March 1st. It worked.
Yes.
You're going to have a lot of people calling you on March 1st every year.
I bet so. I bet so. We call that, you know what we call that, Coach? We call it the Rich Eisen Show bump. We've had people on this show who have won Oscars after being on this show and Emmys being out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's immediate or long term. We just take credit for it. So I appreciate you tacitly giving some to us too. Appreciate that.
Appreciate what you guys do.
And obviously greatly appreciate what you and your guys have done and what you did. If I had told you the day that you were hired at Baylor and everything that was going on in the program that your vision would be eventually realized in 2021, you would have said what on that day, Coach?
It's going to take that long.
Right.
Because when right. you're young, you're probably dumb, you know, and you're a little naive. And I tell you what, we had so much success, though, in 2010. You go to the Elite Eight, you lose to the national champ, and you're like, man, we could have won a national championship, and we didn't even know it.
Right.
And then 2012, you lose to Kentucky in the Elite Eight. They win a national championship, and you're like, we're right there. And then it takes some time to get back to a chance to play for a Final Four. And then you break through, and I tell you what it does is it does teach you to appreciate it that much more, because when you're close and don't get something and then it comes later, you really know it's a blessing, and that's where God's plan's always best. And when you get there, you want to take advantage of that opportunity, because there's a lot of great teams, programs, coaches that never get to a Final Four or win it all. And hats off to our players that really help bring it home.
And so let's talk about that. And what did you tell your team prior to the national championship game? What did you say, I guess, in that Hoosiers moment, maybe in the locker room there in the state of Indiana, where everybody's gathered? We all know that Gonzaga had history on the line. We all know that certainly everybody, certainly on this show and everybody in the media, was talking about the big finish of the game after your victory against Houston, your blowout win. Everyone was talking about Gonzaga and how Mark Few would get his guys up. What did you say to your team in that locker room?
To be honest with by the time we got to that locker room, I thought our guys were prepared, and they deserve the credit from you're given once you advance each round a couple days of practice. And our team really got after those couple days of practice each week, and we kept improving. We kept getting better. And we needed to, coming off that three-week pause. So to me, every battle's won before it's fought, and everyone knows Sun Tzu, the art of war, but it's so true. There's no magical speech or pill. No Advil's going to get you that victory right before you walk out. Now, obviously, I'm an energetic person,
yes,
and I'm gonna try to make sure they're motivated, but that battle was won in that week of practice leading up to it, their preparation and all the film sessions leading up to it. And then the one thing that was great is I thought they understood two things. One, how much the Baylor family cared about them, loved them, and they had a chance to make history being the first Baylor basketball team to win a national championship. They also understood history to be the second school in the state of Texas to win a national championship. And the first one, they did a movie on in 1966. Yes. So, I mean, they knew how big this opportunity was, and they knew you can't just say, well, you know what, in the future we'll get back, because every year is different. And Jerry Colangelo actually had a recorded message that was tremendous, just bringing that point home to them. Just, you got to take advantage of these opportunities, and credit our guys for being locked in. We really, really, each week, I thought, got better and played better, and that's a tribute to our players.
So you played a recording from Jerry Colangelo for the team before they went out? That was part of the pregame?
No, that was done earlier in the week. Right. We one thing beautiful about the bubble is there aren't many distractions.
Right.
So besides our guys doing homework and then getting really good at Connect Four and cornhole, we were able to have several film sessions and talk team time opportunities where we could really bond, grow, appreciate one another, learn more about one another. And then obviously because of Zoom and video nowadays, you can have a ton of guest speakers. Mm-hmm. And Tony Dungy offered a great message to our team as well, and appreciative of the guys that communicated with our guys.
Scott Drew here on the Rich Eisen Show. One thing that I definitely noticed about your team that certainly everybody learned in March Madness, if they hadn't followed your team throughout the year, Scott, is just how tireless your team is. I mean, tireless on every possession. There was never a let up, never, whether it's crashing the boards or switching on defense or using a transition opportunity to your advantage, to making the open shot. How do you coach that? How do you foster something like that, and or recruit for it? Because it seems like there's a like-mindedness of everybody on your team.
Great question. So the first thing is, the staff deserves a lot of credit for recruiting that, because at the end of the day, you have to have the right people on the bus. And the second part is our staff, I think our assistant coaches do a great job, our strength coach or trainer, in making sure that they're able to keep improving and getting better each and every day of practice and throughout the year. And then the players deserve a lot of the credit for their hard work, time, and sacrifice, because everybody practices the same amount of time because NCAA limitations. Where you get better are those people that come back in the gym. They're there early in the morning. They're there early late at night. We got guys that just they're gym rats, and they love to be in there with their teammates.
iron sharpens iron. They love to get better. And so they're the ones putting in the work. With that, one key, I think, to our success was our starting rotation, too. We have a lot of depth on our team. And when you're playing, when people go to the bench, there's usually a drop off. We go to the bench, and a lot of times we get better because, as you know, each and every night's not going to be your night shooting wise, and you got to have multiple people that can get you 20 points. And that 8-man rotation that we put in, that's a starting rotation in our mind, and that allows you to play harder when you're in, because you know when you go to the bench, someone else is going to come in and help the team. You don't have to save yourself. You don't have to conserve or take plays off to go extended time, because you can give everything knowing someone's got your back when they come in.
Was there a point in the game on Monday night, Coach, where you're like, oh gosh, this is exactly the way I wanted it to play out? Obviously, you're a coach, and you're always looking for that trap door. You're always looking to make sure that nobody already reads their newspaper clippings just 5-10 minutes in the game. I mean, you're up 11-1, first TV timeout, 29-10, a 9-2 run thrown on you, but you're still up by 10, and then your guys respond with damn near a 10-0 run itself when Gonzaga cuts it to 9. At what point did you actually have a dawn on you, or allow it to dawn on you, like, this is actually happening for you?
When you're in coaching mode, thanks to a sports center nowadays, you see all these great comebacks, and you're like praying that it's not your team that you give up one of those comebacks to. So really, when both teams emptied the bench at that point, I knew we had met our goal and we'd reached that finish line, and God had blessed us with the national championship.
And then, of course, your family being there. You know, I was talking about this with Jim Nance on Monday before the game, Scott Drew, that you know your brother making a shot drawn up by your dad for Valpo in 1998 is still to this day and forever will be one of the greatest moments in the history of March Madness. And now here you are. With your team building a program that was in absolute shambles when you took it over, unprecedentedly so. There was a COVID problem for your team this year and a pandemic. There was a once-in-a-lifetime snow and ice storm that racked your coaching staff, as you had mentioned to us, more than the members of the team when that happened. Mm-hmm. Now here you are, as you mentioned, the first Texas team since Glory Road, Texas Western, to win it all. What was it like to be with your family and talk about all this after you achieved the greatest moment of your coaching career, Coach?
Well, I can tell you, when you have those special moments, those great moments, they're not great and special unless you have people to share it with. And on the floor, being able to hug everybody that was a part of it, that was huge. And then after the game, being able to see, I mean, wasn't able to hug my wife and kids for 4 weeks in the bubble. So, because we went from Kansas City to Indianapolis, and can't thank the NCAA enough for giving us the NCAA tournament. I mean, as a coach, everyone would tell you the year ago before, if your team was going to the tournament and you went in that locker room and said season's over, that was really hard to do, because most kids aren't playing in the NBA. This is it. They spend their entire childhood preparing for those moments to play in the NCAA tournament, and then when they have a chance to get them and they're taken away, I mean, that's hard. So we got to thank the NCAA for all the safety requirements, all the medical fields, the schools for paying for all that to provide a safe tournament. But being able to hug them for the first time in 4 weeks, and then obviously my dad and brother have been there for all the good moments, bad moments. And when you're in March Madness, you're going to have some of the best moments of your life. You're going to have some of the toughest moments of your life. And that's why it's March Madness. In 40 minutes, anything can happen. The best team doesn't always win. We were just blessed that it was us on that Monday night.
And again, just your dad. What do you say to your father, Coach, like that? I mean, you know what? Like,
hug at that point. When you hug and embrace, you know all those words coming through with that emotion.
who did you hear from? From text or a call that you hadn't heard from in a while, or drop a name for us here who might have reached out to you.
First of all, I'm one of those guys. Like, if you get a text message or email, I got to get back to you. So you're obviously over 1,000 text messages, over 300 emails, and everything else, and you're getting back to everybody. And then once you go to bed, the next day they're right back up. But what it allows you to do is you hear from a lot of like Baylor alums and fans and people that have been there all through the thick and thin, from the old players like David Wesley, Brian Skinner, Terry Teagle, to RG3, to alums like that, John Lee Hancock, the movie director. But it also It allows you to reconnect with old. Back in the day, you know, when we were kids growing up, you when you moved away, you didn't really stay friends with people because you couldn't see them. Nowadays, you get a lot of texts and email from grammar school kids that you used to hang out with. Hey, just want to, I don't know if you remember me, but so it's great to reconnect with all them as well.
And I'm sure. What about the kids that you refer to that were first in for you as you were rebuilding the program?
Those are just a given because, all throughout the season and year, we see before COVID every summer the guys come back. And then obviously during the year, if they can make it to games, you see them. And then when we won the first Big 12 championship in 71 years, we made sure that they knew just how much we appreciated and loved and how much they put in it. Justin Hoff did a great video before our championship game, and it showed some highlights of our past players and just you guys are standing on their shoulders for the foundation and hard work they put in to get us to this opportunity, and to see their excitement and to see their pride. That's coaching is like parenting. At Christmas time, your kids opening presents, they're happy, you're happy, you know? And that's it. When you see everybody happy. And the great thing is, I woke up today and I'm like, all right, who do we got? What's the practice? Wait a minute, we're done. We don't have to scout. We don't have to schedule. We won that championship.
Yes, no one's going to take that away from you, man. No one will do that. And, you know, you'd mentioned again, we talked about it, the last Texas team to win a title in men's basketball was the Texas Western team of 1966, and they made a movie of it, as you know, about Cold Glory Road. And there's and the reason for that is so many about the story, and it was historic, certainly an American and a racial standpoint. But let's just say that anybody who's a men's basketball team in the state of Texas has a movie made about them. Who do you want to play you in the film? Scott Drew.
I don't know if Hollywood got anyone ugly enough for me, but I'll let them figure that out. I tell you what was great. Our athletic director, Mac Rhodes, had actually worked at UTEP and was great friends with Don Haskins. So he was able to share that story to our team, just the last team that won. And it's amazing when how people do forget history, though. And none of our players obviously were born during then. Most of us coaches weren't born during then. And when they say Glory Road, like, a couple of the guys are like, so that was real? so it's just amazing how long ago that was. And for a state that has had so many great basketball players, and we got so many great high school teams, AAU teams, college teams, junior college teams. And I see more and more championships in the future coming from the state, but really happy for the state too.
So, Coach, appreciated the call on March 1st. I guess that's now. We got to do it every year, right? March 1st.
Yeah, you just got to put that down. And you know what? On the phones, those calendars are easy to just make sure every year they pop up, right?
That's right. We'll have a memory. We'll have a memory pop up on your phone now. And congratulations. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Well, appreciate you, and thanks for that advice on March 1st.
You got it. That's Scott Drew, everybody. Care. Yes, indeed. Blessed day. Baylor head basketball coach.
How about that?
No Hoosier speech. No, I don't know, man. I
David versus Goliath. I don't know any of that. Yeah, they were just.
There was no David versus Goliath, but it's just one of those moments where.
That's the speech. And,
like, this is it. This is it. You're 40 minutes away. Your own history. They think they can make history. How about us? They think that they're going to be undefeated. We could have been, but we had all sorts of stuff that we overcame. We're stronger for that loss in Kansas when we were coming off of our break due to COVID-19. Stronger.
Let's go.
We're stronger. You know what I mean? Like, I get goosebumps about this. Moments, to use the miracle one, right?
This is our time.
And having Dungy and Jerry Colangelo talk and all these folks talk, you know?
Didn't mention John McClain. It's like, notable Baylor alone.
Or Trey. Trey Wingo.
Yeah.
Who's putting out, it was
at the game.
Hal Wingo, Hal Wingo the third, HW3 and RG3. They were together. You know?
That's right.
You should get Trey on the horn. I'm sure he wants to toot that horn right here.
For sure.
He would have, I'm telling you, Baylor would have beaten anybody.
I think so. I think it was
that certainly the way they were playing that night, the way they were locked in, the way that Butler's dropping in threes, the way that their defense. And again, as I said, the word is indefatigable. It's very, I know it's a big word alert.
Big
I know it's,
alert.
It's more than three syllables, which makes people maybe change the radio dial. But, you know, that's the word. They were not to be out anything. They were tireless. They had an intensity level that was unmatched by anybody, anywhere. UCLA was the only that came closest in terms of that sort of intensity that was difficult to match. And I don't know how much better of a game UCLA would have given Baylor than Gonzaga did. They deserved it. Let's take a break. We'll come back, set up the rest of the show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. There's also Russell Wilson news, if you will, about Seattle. We'll talk about that coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We appreciate you listening to us on this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate every day as well. Great chat with Scott Drew right there. You cannot stress enough how dire a situation he took over in Baylor. As Jay Billis pointed out, one player on Baylor basketball murdered another, and the coach lied about what it was over to make it look worse for the players than it did for him in the program. What? And let's get Scott Drew coming in here. And I'm like, what if I told you by 2021 you would be a champion if on that day you were hired in 2003? And his answer was, would it take that long? I love that sort of confidence and belief in self. And
yeah, of course.
And as Jay Billis pointed out, it's now a model program. And now you got to figure more and more kids are going to want to go to the state of Texas, Baylor basketball, play for Scott Drew, win a championship.
Rich, do you think the way that Golden State kind of changed basketball with the way everyone shoots threes, do you think kids now are going to look at this Baylor team and think, man, I need to get a little bit more yoked up. I need to get in the gym a little bit, get a little bit swole.
Maybe. By the way, speaking of the Warriors last night, a nice W over the Bucks.
Nice dub. Yeah. Without Giannis, but still.
I understand. Nice W over the Bucks.
They were down 10 with about 3 minutes left.
There we go.
Steph Steph had 41.
Steph is amazing, man.
You could say this is one of the most impressive years of Steph Curry's career. I know.
Yeah.
I understand. He's not the MVP. I understand.
But he's putting up better stats than
everybody
his
thought
MVP
this would
years.
Be another year where they would be in a lottery pick situation because Klay's not playing and Steph is no longer Steph. Steph is still Steph.
Steph
man.
Is Steph. Yeah.
Steph is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
He's having a remarkable year. And they're going to be in the play-in, right? That's what Is it possible that they could pop above the play-in territory? Where are they right now?
Let me check.
Golden State Warriors.
They are.
I don't have the standings.
They're
in front 10th
of me. Place.
All right.
Technically, right now.
Yeah, they're 10th.
Just a game in the 10th. Win column behind.
Yeah.
But four games back in the loss.
But if you're Dallas, do you want to play? You want to play Steph right now?
No, you don't. No, you don't.
That 7-10 matchup.
You don't.
No.
But you know who's going to sit around and watch it? Everyone.
Everybody.
The Lakers are down to 5th, by the way. Remember, they were in 3rd when LeBron went down.
But they're a game and a half out of 6.
Right.
They're 2.5. They're 3 games out of 7.
Falling.
3 games into the playoff for the Lakers.
I think they're going to be playing in.
That's they might not make it, guys. Let's just be honest.
Who? The Lakers? Nice.
What if it's Lakers-Warriors?
Round 1.
That first play-in game.
Do you know who's on their hands and knees praying for that right now? Whichever television executive has the play. I assume we all know it's either ESPN or TNT that's got the play-in game. Whoever's got that first 7-10 play-in game. Lakers versus Warriors.
Watching that one.
Yeah, I think so. Because right now it seems the only conversation about LeBron that I'm seeing on Twitter is somebody set a line for him versus the Monstars, I guess, in the new...
well, the Space Jam trailer dropped over the weekend.
I know. So, Carlos Dunlap, did he tweet this out or did he say it? That he said that Russell Wilson told him he's not going anywhere, right?
Yeah, he said it. He was doing a Zoom kind of interview with the media.
Okay. He's like, Russell told me I'm staying.
And said it.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Isn't this amazing right now that here we are, April 7th. We are 22 days from the draft. Okay. And 22 days from the draft. Sam Darnold's changed teams. Jared Goff's changed teams. Carson Wentz has changed teams. Matthew Stafford has changed teams. Ryan Fitzpatrick has changed teams. Andy Dalton's changed teams. And that's about it. Cam has re-signed. Mariota stayed put, even, right?
Two guys we weren't sure about.
Okay. Am I missing any? Trubisky changed teams.
Trubisky's now in Buffalo.
He's now a backup in Buffalo.
That was a guy we forgot for the poll yesterday, Carson Wentz. I forgot about that.
For
it.
Like, who's going to be best in the new spot? Yeah, I know.
Spot here, yeah.
And put it all together, Deshaun Watson's going nowhere.
Well, Jameis stayed put.
And Russell, again, like, who's going to make a deal that the Seahawks can't refuse and have him draft high enough to get the guy on the spot to start the new clock again for a 70-year-old head coach who's the youngest teenager in football, right? And so, again, he's not going anywhere.
The only team
he's
left,
not
right?
going could anywhere.
Denver is kind of the only team.
Well, Denver
that picks high enough and who could?
But they're picking 9th. They're not close enough. Yeah. They're not close enough for the Seahawks to start replenishing right now with a quarterback. They're not close enough. You'd have to, again, you got to get up to 4. 1 through 3 is a hard, that's a hardened situation. That is locked up. You got to get to 4. And even then you're getting choice 4 at the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
So if you're Seattle and you're trading away Russ, you want 1, 2, or 3. You're not getting those. The Jets aren't going to be now suddenly totally changing in midstream and saying, yeah, bring Russell here to New York and let's start from scratch with Russ. You're not doing that. That ain't happening. Mm-mm. Here we go.
If you're Seattle, you might think about
when it's all said and done.
The second pick.
But Seattle, but the Jets aren't doing that is what I'm saying. They're not going to go and get a contract with 9 figures on it and start from scratch with somebody who's in his early 30s as opposed to somebody who's a pup. Bobby Lashley, hour 2 coming up.